thought you said you're hosting. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kind of Funny Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Do you see what I deal with here, Roger?
Yeah.
That was great. Come on now. Right before Nick panicked, and I was like, no, I'm fucking got
you. Just double checking.
Just kind of double check?
Because sometimes things get shifted around. And honestly, I'm one of those people. I'm a creature of habit.
Yeah.
When Greg's sitting to my left, I know he's hosting. That's my safe place.
Sure.
He's not sitting to my left anymore. He's sitting to my far left. Joining us today is Tam. He's sitting to my left, and I was like, is Tam hosting?
I am not hosting.
Well, there you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, sitting to his left, my right, it's the man, the myth, the legend from GameSpot and Giant Bomb, Timur Hussein. Hello, Timur.
Hello, everyone.
How are you?
Hello, I'm good.
Oh, how can you possibly be here? Didn't you guys just announce like 19 new shows for GameSpot?
That is exactly what we did. And that is exactly why I'm here. I'm here to shill squad the shit out of our new shows. Yeah. So
give you 60 seconds.
60 seconds. Brand new shows, personality led. Each one is a extension or a emphasis on a person's personality.
Okay.
So Monday we got The Law You Know, which is I was gonna go for the 60. So like, yeah, so we were just like, let's put together a slate of shows that are we want to make and we want to see and that are like extensions of us and things that we would enjoy watching. So
gotcha.
We put together like this initial slate of shows, one per day. Each one.
Which one's yours?
So Friday is our one. So Law You Know is like a thing that, you know, kind of gives you the lowdown on a series or a breakdown. Like Lucy did Zelda the other day. She loves Zelda. Did you know that?
No.
Good.
Lucy's one of these types, Rod. She just loves everything.
Yeah.
So when you love everything,
what doesn't
do you
she love
anything? Exactly.
It's true.
Tuesday is Kurt Locker, which is done by Kurt Indovina.
Great name.
It's a good name. Great name. It's a good name. What came first, the show or the name? Who can say?
What's so weird about that, as I looked at it, I was like, why are they riffing off of Kurt Loder?
God damn it.
Yeah. You're welcome for that.
Yeah, Kurt has got a very kinetic style of editing and writing and presenting. And he's taken the reins of his own show and he's just doing talking about things that interest him in his own style.
He did that great Vita video.
Yeah.
I really love that. He does a lot of great essays.
He does a good that kind of stuff. Yeah. So today's one was all about remakes and where they fit into the world. It's really cool. No HUD is a show that Jean-Luc is doing with a bunch of others as well. And it's basically taking the games that you have and kind of figuring out new ways to play them.
Oh.
And trying to get more out of it. Or, you know, sometimes you get a game where it's like, this game's not great, but if you play it in this way, it's actually pretty good.
Sure.
Yeah. So it's kind of like focusing on that and then trying to give new life to games that already exist. Expert Reacts is just, you know, you find someone who's got a specialist subject matter and have them talk about it in the context of the video games.
Yeah.
Spot On is the show that myself and Lucy are doing, which is going to be a weekly news show. The idea of it is to like not regurgitate news, because I think by the time Friday
we do that,
everyone does.
We do that every day. Yeah,
we get an AI bot.
We got a Jeff Grubb doing that for us as well. The idea is like by the time Friday comes, average person is gonna have heard the news of that week multiple times.
Yeah.
So this is kind of like a little more of a let's take the big story of the week and do more of a discussion around it or like a take around it. So that's me and Lucy kind of leaning on our experience and our like history together to doing that. And then Firearm Experts Reacts is like really popular, where they just take weapons from games and like get someone who knows a lot about weapons and talk about how, you know, it's accurate, not accurate,
okay,
kind of stuff. It's really fun. Then finally, How It's Saved is kind of Dave Klein is making that, and it's the story of how a game pulled either a company, a franchise, a person back from the precipice of failure. Or
that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's really
cool.
Because that happens a lot.
Mm.
So this is kind of like
movies
that story.
Too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So there's a lot of interesting stories there, and yeah, we're hoping that people enjoy it and come check it out.
That's awesome.
Greg, it's like when Quentin Tarantino helped save John Travolta's career, and then we were subject to another 30 years of John Travolta.
We had some good stuff there, though. You know,
name one good John Travolta.
Remember the Olivia Newton-John Christmas song he did? That was great.
It's a great movie.
There. Here comes my hometown.
Was that pre or post Face Off?
So good to get my wheel.
That was like a year ago, wasn't it?
What?
That one you're talking about?
No, Lucy showed that to me and Jen, and it was old by then.
Was it?
Yeah.
I feel like he just did something. Maybe it was that commercial he did with the guys from Scrubs. for no reason.
Oh, yeah.
We were like, wow. That's a wild. This seems weird. This doesn't work.
What about Face Off came after.
All right, Face Off.
Yeah, Face Off. He had a lot of LM 1-2-3.
Yeah.
That's a newer movie.
Broken Arrow.
Broken Arrow.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a good movie.
Good stuff right there.
John Travolta, man. What a weirdo.
Yeah.
Flies a plane.
Fly a plane.
I would. If John Travolta was the pilot of your plane, would you get on it?
No.
No shot.
Did you go see him when he came and talked at GameSpot?
I did come and see him. Yeah, I went to see him in the...
Wait, what did he say?
So it was like we were in the CBSI office. So he was there to promote a movie. He was on the cover of CNET magazine. And they have this, like, we had this auditorium.
It was
where,
that Devin Sawa film he was in.
Oh.
Or maybe probably, you know, it was the John Travolta film, Devin Sawa.
Yeah, I know exactly.
So like they would bring in celebrities and do an interview with them, and people could come and like watch like it's some sort of TED talk, and he had nothing interesting to say. Like, he was like, I'm trying to make some money and I'm getting out of there.
Yeah, the movie, and here I am to talk to you guys.
Yeah,
about
it. That's pretty it. Happening.
Wasn't that directed by Fred Durst or something like that?
Yeah,
that's right.
Awesome,
that's
dude.
Right. Yeah,
that's
Durst. Right.
That's the one.
Awesome.
Chocolate's covered.
Yeah. I miss him. What's he up to? Remember that one time where we went to TwitchCon and he was at TwitchCon?
Isn't he? I do not remember that.
That was SF TwitchCon. The same one where we met Snowbike Mike.
That's true.
Maybe
that's
if we didn't waste our time meeting Snowbike Mike, we would have met.
Exactly. Remember when he just kept following us home? We're like, fine, you can have a job.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that. Great. Yeah, followed us around the country. Went to E3 with a kind of funny Mike. We're like, you don't actually work here. Why are you doing this?
He was like, I
live the dream, homie. I was like, all right, whatever that means. And rounding out the quartet is none other than Who Framed Roger Perconi. Hello, Raj. How are you?
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Let's start at the top of the order of business. Oh, there's two people who need to get not reamed, but taken to school.
Sure.
There's Fred Durst right there. Number one is
he's old.
Roger Perconi.
He's like grandpa.
Roger. And I guess actually, Roger, shut up. Nick.
Sure.
Do you feel Roger's allowed to look this good at work? Because Roger looks like he owns the company.
Look,
Roger, if you're an audio listener, he's got that just right. His beard is matching his hair length, which I love. Mm-hmm. He's got these clear, cool glasses on. He's got a blazer on, a cool shirt. He's got really cool shoes. He's got dress socks and dark jeans on.
I feel like if you came to me and said that you were launching a new social network, I would 100%
believe. Yep.
Well, guess what, guys? I'm here to announce.
What's it called, Raj?
Kind of Funny, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I was going to go with New York's Finest.
Is it T-O-O?
T-O-O? Oh, like also?
Yeah,
also,
Kind of Funny too.
No.
No.
Just the number.
Just the number.
Just the number. Yeah.
Here's what I'm going to say. Maybe it was last week or the week prior that you came back from New York, right? I went a little hard on Raj last week on the podcast. So I'm going to say, Raj, you're looking good.
Thank you.
You do have the air of a video game developer.
Yep.
That their game last year was just huge.
Oh, okay.
And now it's E3, and now they've come out to like talk about other people's. They're like, you're big. We want to push all the other Xbox games. You're gonna be the Todd Howard, basically. Of E3.
He's not Neil Druckmann, Last of Us on PS3. He's Neil Druckmann, Last of Us on HBO.
Yes,
got it.
Wow. So he's sort of hit the apex, right? He's crested,
right?
And he walks out, and someone goes, no, we have to. We got to value in. You can't be walking out in your street clothes. We got to put you in the cool blazer. We got to put you in the new shoes. We got to get you dialed in with the jeans that look like you haven't been wearing them since you graduated college back in 1996.
Yeah.
He's looking fresh. And then all the other game devs look at him and go, got to style. I got to get my shit done. You know?
Yeah.
And that's the air that I'm trying to cultivate. You know what I mean?
It worked, man.
Like,
you're sitting right now is too cool for school.
Listen, I'm never on the Kind of Funny podcast. I got to show up. It's like when Kevin used to wear suits on podcasts.
Sure.
And you used to do it, too, with Kind of Funny Games Daily, right?
Sure, but I did it for a different reason. You know?
Oh. What was the reason?
Well, I mean, that's just what I wanted to say.
Oh, okay.
Kevin felt like he had to, like, overcompensate. Like,
yeah,
you know
yeah.
I mean?
Like, and I feel like that's kind of where I'm at, too. You know what I mean? I want to show up a little bit. And I got this amazing shirt, and you can't really see it too much, but I got this at a thrift shop, a thrift store, and it says 2 Chainz Virtual Reality.
Yeah.
And it's fucking incredible because I love it because it's like this, like Memphis rap type deal homage. But I've been looking up this shirt, and I have not been able to find it anywhere. Like, I think this is maybe a one of one, and I love it.
Wow.
I love it so much.
Yeah, it's definitely like when someone doesn't win the Super Bowl, but they already have the shirts printed, so they just, like, ship them to other places. Kind of like that, where 2 Chainz is going to come out real hard with the virtual reality thing, and it just never manifests.
Wow. And it has, like, on the back, it says, like, TCG. Have not been able to figure out what those acronyms are.
TCG. The cool 2 Chainz.
The cool?
2 Chainz Gang.
Gang, yeah.
Fuck. Yeah. Might be
the card game.
Oh, fuck.
2 Chainz the card game.
Yep. God, I wish this was a canceled virtual reality 2 Chainz card game.
It reminds me, the other day I saw this screenshot of a Twitter exchange go through the old meme factory that I follow. TikTok, you might have heard of it. Mm. And it was, you know, the Nick, I'm going to need your help here. The comedian Fluffy.
Oh, Gabriel Iglesias.
Right. He has a joke about Portillo's chocolate cake, I've heard. That's very great. I'm glad. He's at WWE stuff a lot. I appreciate that. However, this was someone tweeted a photo of him. Tweeted a photo to him that was his action figure signed. Like, is this really your signature? And he goes, yeah, only made 1,000 of those. Humbling. they were at a Goodwill. They were at a Goodwill where they were like, for 99 cents, here's a signed Fluffy doll.
Well, that's Fluffy's awesome. Okay. He sold out Dodger Stadium. So for his he was the first comic ever to do that. I could be wrong about that, but he was one of the few comics that ever sell at Dodger Stadium, which is wild.
Now, the next thing goes like this in terms of somebody who needs to get taken to school.
Yeah.
And if you're a Kind of Funny podcast fan, you listen or watch, you're used to this. I'm ashamed that we have to do it once again. Yep. And this person's name is Cody Hagler. Of course, Cody Hagler's Instagram is still private, so I can't creep on it.
Mm-hmm.
But as we were about to go live, we, of course, have the live chat over here. Patreon.com/kindoffunny. Mm-hmm. We can see you if you want to go there. You get the show ad free. Mm-hmm. You can be watching live as we record it before we have to edit out any of the things I say, maybe about cancer, right, Rod?
I don't think it's less of an editing out. It's more of like not sharing it on the brand.
anyways, though, for Cody Hagler, the issue today isn't his private Instagram, which still sucks. It's the fact that he said, "I was just in San Francisco 30 minutes ago."
Yeah.
Which, and I was like, that's not normal, right? He's not one of these NorCal kids. So, of course, I go to the much cooler Melissa Hagler's Instagram that is public so I can keep tabs on Cody Hagler. And, yeah, they're in Monroe, Georgia. So I don't understand why Cody's in San Francisco. You know what I mean? I feel like...
What's going on?
What the hell?
Separation. That's crazy. They're separate places.
Well, no, I don't mean that. I mean, like, I don't think they separated. I think they're still having a baby in October.
Oh, that's not what I meant. Oh, yeah. They're in different places.
Roger, okay, I understand you want to move in on the Haglers.
I'm just trying to understand this dynamic, okay? I don't know what you're
saying. It's weird that Cody says that he's in San Francisco and wouldn't tell us because we live in San Francisco. We work in San Francisco. You know what I mean?
Mm.
I feel like the Haglers, as Trogs, I feel like they would share that information that one of them was going to be here. Because I think Melissa is still, Melissa, are you still in Georgia?
No, what she said we're in Tahoe.
We're working in Tahoe. Cody says, we were working in Tahoe, and I had to drop some stuff off for our guys at SFO. Damn, man. Hagler. We're working in South Lake Tahoe until June. Mike has been giving us things to do. Huh. I'm glad that Mike gets all this information, not Greg, the guy who actually stalks him on Instagram.
Well, did you hit the follow button so they get the notification that you follow?
No, I don't follow. I'm not going to follow back.
You would never do that.
The last thing I need is fucking Melissa Hagler sending me messages.
That's the important thing, because it's important to keep the power dynamic where it is.
Yeah.
You give Melissa too much power, and then she suddenly starts asking, and then she's our boss. And then it's like, all right.
This is the
who's
thing.
The boss of whom here?
This is how it works around here. You know, you give a piece of cheese to these mice. You know what I mean? And really, in reality, mice is being too kind to the Trogs. Or any of our fans. They're ants to us, Roger. Yeah, all right?
I love, you know, Greg, Roger, looks, you at said it, Greg looks at me, and he just knows what makes me uncomfortable.
Fucking
and he pushes, and he fucking pushes.
I'm just saying, before we went on air, Roger, you said it the best. Like, they don't matter to us.
Yep, that's exactly what I said. That's exactly what I said. New York's finest over here.
Roger, and I quote, said, how many of them do you think I could kill before anyone...
Exactly. You know what I mean? Let me tell you, they would take it as a compliment. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Getting killed by Roger McCourney.
Remember that one time in Kansas City when I tombstone pile drive that kid? His dad loved it. You know what I mean? Kid's scarred for life.
Love it.
Kid's scarred for life.
Kid can't get near a light or a stage or a microphone without pissing himself.
That's how much do you miss the insanity of live panel podcasts, Nick?
I miss it a lot, actually. That was something I've been thinking about, because we're heading sort of into the event season. And RTX is coming up. We got the Comic-Con coming up. E3, unfortunately, RIP, is no longer. But I'm hopeful that we'll get back out there at some point as the world accepts us again. I hope we get that. I hope that becomes a norm again, where we go from missing that to going basically like, oh God, we got to go to this thing again this weekend. We've been gone for 5 weeks in a row.
Sure. There it is. There's the tombstone pile driver.
Look how
skinny
I was back then.
Are you down to run? And like, my favorite part there is how he tries to get up and get away from it. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't understand how to sell the tombstone pile driver. And that's the thing, Raj. If you're going to step in the ring with me and I'm going to give you a finisher, you're going to sell it. All right? Yeah. And am I going to Umaga you like they did the Jackass guys? No. But you're going to stay down.
What's an Umaga?
I just let him go. You know what I mean? Okay.
Because Tam sort of went like, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. Remember this?
I was just nodding along.
Yep. Like,
yeah.
Greg has that effect on people. He kind of just, yeah.
So the story goes that WWE, when they're not the most recent Jackass stuff, but before that, right? Chris Pontius, I think it was, but definitely Steve-O, were at a Raw or whatever it was. And Barrett, I know you're good at the B-roll. This, you can Google all this as you go, right? And they were supposed to come in and get just like thrown around by Umaga, and probably Umaga, I think it was maybe. And the problem was that no one really briefed them on anything. So they were getting smashed. They got slammed down, and then Steve was like reacting and trying to get back up. And Umaga's like, no, and just then really started beating the shit out of him. And like just had to do that until the bit ended because they were like, oh my God, you have to stay down. I digress.
Seems like someone missed a note there somewhere.
Yeah.
Tell the other person.
Vince McMahon apparently was very happy when they came backstage. He said it was a great bit. Even Steve was all
fucked
up.
Meanwhile,
Steve was all fucked up. Yeah. Steve's version of it's great about it.
Yeah, well, Steve was taking a lot of punishment. Here
we go. Jesus.
Wow. That,
see, like, yeah.
That seemed like it really.
And he's like screaming and talking and then rolling and like, no, just play dead. Play dead. Right? And like, he's like, no, I'm going to beat the shit out of you. We should probably cut this off. Yeah, WWE is very copyright friendly. Yeah, we found out.
Yeah. They own us now.
Yeah. Well, how many are our goddamn streams they have to screw up because I showed John Cena? You know?
Come on, guys.
Sucks.
I wish you had like a contact there where you could just like text him like, white did list. It again.
Dude, I've had and my just, this is awesome just, promo videos they send. Like, can you post this again? No problem. It gets taken down. I'm like, all right, well, what do you want me to do about it, man?
I get it though. They're popular. We get it. You know.
I digress.
Want to watch your stuff.
If you didn't know, this is the Kinda Funny Podcast. Each and every week, four, sometimes five best friends gather on this table, each coming to hang out and talk with each other about whatever it is they want to talk about. If you want to talk with us, of course, you can be live in the chat just like those hagglers are, wherever they are in the world. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny where you can watch us record the show live. You could get it ad-free. You could get a bevy of bonus shows. You could watch this recorded every other podcast that isn't embargoed for some kind of weird video game review. I digress. If you have no bucks to toss our way on patreon.com/kindoffunny, it's no big deal. Of course, you can watch for free on youtube.com/kindoffunny and podcast services around the globe. On top of that, you can write in for free at kindoffunny.com/kfpodcast. Housekeeping for you. I'm pretty sure you wrote this, Nick. And I don't know if you saw it. It broke me during Games Daily because it's that funny.
Did it? Okay.
Come celebrate May the 4th with us as the team plays through Jedi Survivor. We have all sorts of fun surprises for you, including Andy Wan Kenobi teaches Nick the Force, and where in the world is Kev2D2? Want to hear Mike Baca, the truckie, do his patented Tahoe scream? Tune in to twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames this Thursday at 11:30 a.m. right after Kind of Funny
Games
Daily.
It's going to be a fun one, everyone.
I can't wait.
Looking forward to it. Well, I have it on good authority that we don't know if his flight's going to get delayed. But it's possible that Watto might make an appearance.
Wow.
It's possible.
He's got those little wings. It just takes him a long time to fly. He's trying to get here. I hear. That should be a lot of fun. I just did the Q&A for April. We're late, we know. But it's up on Patreon soon with Kevin. And he was hinting that it's going to be a good one.
It's going to be good fun. Stuff. We got a lot of fun bits.
Very excited about that. Speaking of fun things, right now, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 spoiler-free review is up on the Kinda Funny screencast feed. I listened to it myself because I didn't get to go watch it yet, but I wanted a heads up. Joey, Tim, and Andrew Goldfarb give quite the spoiler-free review. I appreciated it.
Tell you what, we could see Goldfarb every once in a while. Just a delight.
See that dude like three
you
times a week.
You see him all the time. Yeah, you're hanging out nonstop with him.
I see him once. Every time we have to see a movie, he gets invited. We get him in, and he comes, and he says hello. And then I go, do you need a ride home? And he's like, no, I'm fine. And then he just walks off into the darkness.
Yeah. He lives right near.
Yeah,
near
he does. Like, he really does.
5 minutes away.
He's like, on top of that, don't forget, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 is out this weekend. Your in-review, the MCU in-review, will post on Monday, where we will rank it and Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. Because I watched that the other day.
Jesus Christ.
And let me tell you, it's not often that I'm so angry that I then make sure I come in and expense the movie. Here's the receipt, Nick. I had to pay $20 to watch this thing for you.
I will say it was surprising because Greg and I, you know, like I buy a lot of movies. I rent a lot of movies for the company, but I'll just be like, oh, I'll just buy myself lunch or something later on the road. Greg made it a point to be like, I want my fucking money back. For this movie that I had to buy, and I was like, oh, this is gonna be a good one when we talk about it.
It sadly won't. It'll just be like Eternals where I was like, oh, why?
Yeah.
Thank you to our Patreon producers, Nathan Lamoth, James Hasting, and Casey Andrew. Today we're brought to you by Rocket Money and Honey, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, Tam, Cozy Bear writes in for free at kindoffunny.com/kfpodcast and says, Do you think you would have been friends with your parents if you had been in high school with them, a la Back to the Future?
Do I think it would? No, I don't think so.
Yeah?
No.
Why not?
I think, like, one, my first of all, my mom went to school in Pakistan. So I don't think, and Pakistan is very traditionalist.
Okay.
So I don't imagine I would be in a class or left to my devices to make friends with a woman.
Sure.
Yeah, because they're wild over there. They're wilding out over there. But also, like, my mom's so shy that I don't think she would have made, like, friends with randos.
Okay.
I think my dad, he went to school here. I don't think I would make friends with him as well, because he seemed like he was up to no good.
Oh, troublemaker.
School. Okay. I get that vibe off my dad, troublemaker. And I think I would be like, no, I'm good. I don't want to get caught up in whatever you're doing.
Okay.
My parents are boring.
Nick, you, Lou, and Elena, you hanging out?
You know, maybe, because my dad was into music back then. And I feel like I was in marching band. So I think that we may have had some crossover there. And we were both kind of dorks in high school. So I feel like that would have been probably a good thing. My mom and I, probably not. I mean, you're talking, what did they go to high school like? They're 74. So when would that have been, like?
They're born in 74?
60s.
Oh, okay. Oh, they are 74.
They are 74.
My apologies. So, yeah, 60s, 70s.
I don't know if there would have been too much crossover between, like, interests. But if my dad was out there, you know, my dad loved, like, rock and roll bands and stuff like that. And that was always pretty cool. I'd like to believe that if I grew up in the 60s, I would have learned how to play a slightly cooler instrument, the trumpet.
Yeah.
Maybe like a guitar or a piano. So I think that could have been cool, yeah. It would be so interesting to see your parent back then.
100%.
And just like... that's part of obviously the fun of Back to the Future is it brings up that question of like, if you got to see your parents at that age, at that weird high school age where they're trying to figure life out, and you got to see them as a contemporary, what would that be like? And I'm fascinated by that. But I just have a feeling my dad would just be sitting in the garage with his old man, like, fixing brakes.
Yeah.
And if it's that, I'd be like this. Nope, get me back out. Yeah. Get me out of this. Put me back in the fucking DeLorean because I'm not trying to do any sort of mechanical shit right now. That was back when they were like men's men.
Yeah.
It was like, put the car up on a
cigarettes
block.
Cigarettes out of their arm. Nobody cries.
Yeah, you know, there's always one hanging out of the mouth while they're doing like flammable shit in front of them. Yeah, it's always fun. But I would actually, that is the one thing, is I would love to go back during that era and know my grandfather.
Dude.
I never knew any of my grandfathers.
See, oh, so you just don't even know them.
I don't know them at all. Like two of them, one of them died a little bit after, but he was in Italy. I have three because my mom was adopted. I met him once that I can remember, that I was of age to remember. And then my grandpa Rinaldi died before. And then my grandpa Scarpino died like the year I was born. So shots of him holding me, and he looks like me. So that's the trippiest thing, is when I look at pictures, I'm like, that's what I'm going to look like when I'm like 60.
I was going to say,
bald, badass, super tan.
Sure.
So he's one of the guys that I wish I could have pulled aside and had like a beer with.
See, that's my thing about it too, where for me, you know, with number one crane operator Greg Miller and big old Jamie Kennedy, we wouldn't have been like enemies or whatever, right? But my mom it still is big into horses. Like, she rides now, and she was riding back then, and like, she was like, you know, made enough money at her after school job to buy a horse back then. You know what I mean? So it's like, she was motivated by that in a way that I'm like, I don't want to go fucking see the horse. It was just today where I'm like, I don't want to go see the horse. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then my dad, it was the, you know, working on cars, riding a motorcycle, like that kind of thing. Dad would have, I could see me in a lot of ways, like some of my antler friends and some of the ones I'm still super close to, right, are like good old country boys, where it's like, we don't have much in common besides we went to Mizzou and the antlerness, but it's like, they're good people and I'd love to hang out and have a beer with them, and that kind of thing. But like, Grandpa Kennedy, like, you know what I mean? Like, and I knew him, I called him Poppy. I knew Poppy, you know.
I met Poppy.
You saw him in the video. Yeah,
Poppy in the videos.
You did. We're working on our commentating over Greg's childhood videos.
They were Poppy, patience of Job with you.
Yeah, I am.
Greg nipping at his heels. Poppy's like, all right, Greg.
World War II veteran. You know what I mean? And I'll fucking interview him.
Oxygen tank.
We'll talk about it another time. We'll talk about it another time. But like, Poppy, like, seems like he was, like, especially as my mom's dad, like, he was like, you know, beer drinking, barbecue, and like, you know, just jack all trades. Kind of like, I would have loved to have, like, shown up at a bar, like, be able to time travel back, go to the bar he's at, and get a beer.
That's what I wanted to do. Not to see him, like, you know, because my grandma probably as well, right? Because you see them, you're the lens through which you view these people is always like when they're like 70, 80 years old.
Of course.
At that point, they're curmudgeons already, right? They don't have any time. You don't have a lot in common with them when you're 12. But it'd be interesting to meet in the middle and be like, what were they like when they were 35?
Mm. Right,
where their kids were still young and they were still, because I think about my parents when they were 30. And I remember them being like, I remember, and we talked about this before, but I remember them like taking out the lawn chairs on like a Saturday afternoon, putting them down there. The neighbors would come over with their lawn chairs, put them down. Kids would be playing in the street or whatever. And I remember looking over being like, are they drinking right now? Like, what's going on? Just commiserating over there with each other, with fucking kids, you know, having a cocktail. And I'm like, that's something I would do right now. I would sit out in the sun while my kid, I don't have the energy for it. My kid's running around and I'm getting a little sauced up, a little slurry. Like, you know, it'd be cool. It'd be cool to be in that moment with them and just kind of pick their brains on what for life was like.
Well, even, and that's the other thing I think about too. Like,
Spike just eating cake over there.
Yeah.
You're a vision.
Oh my God.
The thing I think about, is like, I would love to go back to like 1987.
That'd be awesome.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like, cause like, again, like I was alive for it, but I was 4 years old, right? So it's not like I remember anything from it, but like, and it sounds so stupid, but to go there and go to like McDonald's and get like the styrofoam cup and the and like see that shit in real life and what the cars were and whatever. But then on top of all that, what is a big thing for me is like, I'm watching that. I keep forgetting the name of it. The new Elizabeth Olsen show on HBO.
I don't remember it either, but it's her and Jesse Plimkin.
Yeah, where they're gonna they have an affair or whatever, affair, right? Yeah. And we were watching that last night, and it was the same thing of like you're watching cake cam. We're like, using cake cam to show my guy.
Just so you know, show the amps. Show the amps to the kids.
But it was the idea that you know, like I'm watching that. It's similar to the '80s conversation of just like, man, like it's like late '70s when the show starts or whatever, and like to like watch them and their kids and just like. There's like nothing to do. The world is so vast, but yours is so small, and there is no internet, this, that, the other. You know, it's just like a crazy thing to even try to wrap your head around, even though you and me, Nick, kind of lived it. Of like, we're the generation that
I mean,
didn't have the internet, then had the internet, and then have seen everything change to be all.
I distinctly remember being bored. And now, you know,
bored.
Bored.
I think you said born. I was like,
oh no, that was, yeah, I have Nick a photographic Cage, memory. Great remember. Seeing a cave and then light.
Did you see the quote from Nick Cage recently?
What did he say?
Nick Cage is like, I remember being in the womb.
He does not. Nick Cage does too much cocaine.
He might.
He's got to stop. He's got to stop doing cocaine and ketamine. Allegedly. I don't know why he lost all his money. Allegedly. Had to do all those B movies. Allegedly. Whatever. No, I think about that a lot. I think about, I have this like weird fantasy kind of in my brain where I'm like, if you could go back to a period in your life and start from there, but knowing what you know now, you zap yourself into that 5-year-old body, would you do it or would that be a living hell?
Living hell.
You think so?
Yeah. I think it would be.
But you could be a billionaire by right now, but you might be
fucking
crazy.
Yeah, but again, you're 5 years old. Like, first off, they would put you in an asylum because you'd be like going in there and like, writing perfectly, know all the things. Yeah, I mean, like just
you go to Harvard, you'd be fine. Back then, they had Doogie Howser. Like, this kid's a Doogie Howser. We don't know.
I've thought about it. Like, it's like, honestly, I that is more of a scary scenario for me than an exciting one. Because then it is the thing of like, even still, like, all right, cool. Like, I know to buy Apple stock, but when do I sell it?
And
like,
exactly.
Where do I get the money to do the thing? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
All you have to do is buy Google stock and Apple stock and just never sell it. And by the time you flash forward here, you'll be a billionaire. But I think about it. I'm like, that'd be so cool because then you could, like, any issues I had with health, being overweight as a child, I could probably knock that out. But then I'm like, would I? Because if I was, every time I go back to my mom's house now, I eat my fucking face off.
Yep.
And I am 43 years old and I have those tools and I go, fuck it.
Yep.
I think about like if people are having problems, like if you're, when your parents are arguing.
Oh, yeah.
And you want to pull them aside and be like, look, guys. Y'all need
listen,
to
I've been in the future. It doesn't work out.
This shit's not happening.
Just get out of it now. Right. Yeah.
Like, we'd be weird.
And that, there's that part of it. But then it's like also like, for me, I think of how I don't like replaying games.
Yeah.
So it would be the fact of like, replaying life. So it's like the thing I enjoy the most, video games.
Right.
I'm like, I'm playing NES shit. And I'm like, I instead of going for the Master System, I get the NES. But then even still, I'm like, I can't wait for the PS5. You know what I mean? I only have to wait 30 years to get there or whatever. But
I think the same way. I think about like, I'm like, would I do it all over again? The only thing I'd have to rectify is like how I end up meeting D. That's all I have to
get to. That's where my brain goes.
That's all I have to get to.
Is that like, I've had this conversation with Leanza of like, okay, if I go back in time, let's say I had to redo this all. Do I just, because we met on Tinder, like a random swipe. Like, do I figure out like some like rant, like what, do I go to your job and be like, oh, hello, how you doing, miss? You know what I mean?
That's
like,
my thing.
Like, how do you figure out all these little things that lead you to the place, like the parts of your life that you really like now, and then also change the things that you don't like? You know what I mean? Like, it's such a scary situation, but also it's like, oh, fuck, I can just buy Bitcoin and then sell real quick.
That, I mean, that's all you do, right? You can just buy Bitcoin and then have like $200 million in somewhere.
I was going to ask a question that could derail this.
Let's keep going after a little bit more, because I've thought about it so much with like the Captain America, like, you know, go back and then live the alternate reality with Peggy kind of thing, or maybe the real reality. They never really clarified, but it doesn't matter. But it was like, yeah, exactly. For me, it would be, I looked into it enough after I had this thought long enough of like, I would never want it to happen to me, but in case it does, the one thing I'm prepared to go back on the timeline is like, I will get Portillo first.
Yeah.
Instead of past Greg, I'm like, I know where and I know what day I got him. So come the day before, you know, as soon as they open on that morning and get him and be with me.
Oh, in this version, there's still another Greg running around.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. See, in my version.
Wow. Well, I see. Yeah. I thought of it in multiple ways. Yeah. But yeah. Still get Portillo either as current Greg, who's old, going back and just going to live and have money or whatever. And then, Jen of like, what do I need to say? Because I wouldn't want to do the whole, like, try to make sure it happens the exact same way. Yeah, like, how could I meet her and explain to her what's going on?
So would you do that? Would you try to be like...
I think so, because, like, why not? Like, let's fuck it up. Let's get out, you know what I mean? But then it is also the thing of you rob that other person in that reality of the growth they had to get to that part.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so I had this conversation with D, and some of this that spurred on is obviously, like, you're seeing Guardians of Galaxy 3, the Gamora situation, right? He has this happening where he sees what it could have been but can't figure out how to rectify that, right? I talked to Dee about it. I was like, would you do this? She goes, I would only do it if you did it too and we both somehow knew each other. And I'm like, well, that'd be weird because then we'd spend our whole lives together. And she goes, yeah, but then we'd get 30 more years together.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, but then I'd be even shorter when you met me. That'd be weird, right?
Yeah.
But then I'm thinking to myself, maybe I don't do marching band. Maybe I do sports. I don't drink so much soda. I don't smoke cigarettes. Maybe I am 5'10". When she marries me when I'm 22 and we're billionaires. And then we get to travel.
It's just that thing of like, couldn't, would you, like maybe I do sports. Like, I guess you have changed.
But see, I would.
Like my passions haven't changed.
Yeah.
As Poe said on the birthday stream, I've been the same kid since grade school.
You really
so it's
have.
Like,
it's wild. But I think like I loved marching band and I just got to spend some time with my friend who's a marching band director now. And we've been friends since junior high. And I look back and we were talking fondly on it, but I'm like, if I had it to do over again, I would actually like to see what it was like to just do like theater and soccer.
Yeah.
Like do a sport that I could be not great at, but something that kept me physically moving forward. Because as you get older and you start to feel sort of the aches and pains, I've talked about my knee being fucked up. I'm like, God, I wish I could just run again like I could when I was 16. But I never did.
Yeah.
But I wish I had a reason to do that and work out and do those things.
Sure.
But I'd want to do all that stuff. And then I think to myself, do I go to UC Irvine or do I just skip college altogether, wait for this whole YouTube thing to kick up, and then start making videos there because I have the knowledge. I know how to use all those cameras from the advent of digital video all the way up to now.
Yeah.
Why not just start bankrolling, be the, what was that guy that, the original YouTuber, Ray William Johnson?
Yeah,
be that guy. Just talk to a camera with a cool background that's blurred out a little bit. Everyone's like, holy shit, you're incredible.
Yeah.
And then
it's still the same thing of like how that would alter so much. Because again, I've thought so much about it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the old adage for me, right, was when Up at Noon happened and I started learning about YouTube really was, and I was like, fuck, I should have been doing this. Like, I, you know, when I was at the Tribune, I had done a bunch of videos of like the first PS3 leaving Walmart and stuff, and those videos had done well, and I was like, why didn't I think to turn the camera on? I remember at the time with you at VidCon being like, I could have been Phil DeFranco for video games, right? I wouldn't have even needed IGN, but if I had done that, it would have put me on such a different path of like, would it have led to this? Would I be thought of as a serious critic at the time, or would I just been some kid on YouTube?
And that's just like, that's what you were trained with journalism. You never put yourself into it. You are.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, it's like a product of that time, right? Where access is different. So
yeah, of course.
Because no one could have a similar experience. The natural inclination is to be the window into that experience. Whereas these days, like everyone can have every experience, like mostly. So now the window that people want is how is someone else reacting to that experience that I can have?
Sure.
So yeah, I mean, like I think probably would do the same thing and get hair again, I imagine.
Maybe though, because you think to yourself though, you've had 40 years now of those experiences. And so obviously you're going to gravitate towards some of that stuff, but do you go to Mizzou or do you try a different college or do you even go to?
See, I would totally want to go to Mizzou again.
Well, I mean, that's great. And do that all over again. Relive those years with the Antlers, because I'm sure that'd be really, really fun.
Can you imagine though, like being there now and having like, if I got even
you're too responsible now.
I was going to say, if let's say I got
You're not sleeping in that fucking basement again.
Dude, don't even get me started. The house we lived in, the shit we say, the shit we would do, I'd be like, oh my God. Like, oh no.
Dropping, what was that time where you dropped a TV on someone's chest or some shit like that?
That's not true. I don't know what
I forgot. There was a story you told of like cops coming because someone got dropped through a TV or some shit like that. Maybe I'm making that up.
You're confusing maybe a few different things.
I might be confusing some of the back.
Cops came a lot of time. There was this one where we took all the stuff that was being thrown out by a roommate and put it on top of somebody's car, and they tossed it off, and that broke a bottle, and then I jumped on a suitcase and rolled off suitcase and rolled on the broken bottle and cut my knee open.
That might be the case.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That was one day.
There being blood a lot.
That was one day.
Yeah, cops didn't come that day.
Yeah,
to be clear. Okay. The next day we tried to do a ride around. We were planning to do a little. We called it the Antler Parade. But what it was just climbing in the back of somebody's pickup truck and driving around campus and yelling at people to join the Antlers or whatever. And but then what it turned into was we did that. But then I got driven to the student hospital center or the hospital because my knee was still wide open from rolling out a bottle. And then it became a weird version of Hey Mister, except it was Hey Doctor, of like, hey, as people are coming and going in their scrubs, like, will you look at my knee? Like, I don't want to go in the actual ER. And they're like, no. Fun time.
Genius.
That was college. That was college.
You had fun.
Yeah.
I definitely 100% would not have gone to UC Irvine.
Yeah.
But then,
you regret that all the time, though.
I regret it. I think it was, I told my buddy the other day, he was like, where'd you go to college again? I was like, I went to Irvine. I was like, I got accepted to Santa Barbara, but I just didn't feel like, and he was just like, you fucking idiot. For you, I don't...
I hated my college career. So I went to a small little film school for a year. Spent way too much money. Yeah. 1 year, it was a middle school that was converted into a private college. Oof. So spent a lot of money on 1 year.
I mean, that sounds fun.
It sounds fun, but then it's just like the professors were just like the deist of list and they just did not care. Like they were just checked out. A lot of weird old school people from film who are just really misogynistic and weird and being like, hey guys, this is how you fuck your assistants. It's like, whoa.
Jesus.
Like,
this is what we're teaching? Class?
Yeah, in front of the class.
Roger's like, I'm listening.
No, but there was a bunch of those guys in the school who were just like, I love Tarantino and I love misogyny. It's like, oh, fuck, this is a weird fucking place.
Wait, when did you go to school? What year was this?
2017, 2016?
Oh, shit. That shouldn't have been like that.
Oh, no. No,
I'm like 2002. You get it. Okay.
Yeah, so I left after a year, and then I went to community college for a year and a half, and then I went to a design school for a year with my girlfriend, Lianza. So that was great. I would have just, if I were to redo it all, I just would have went for design. And it was also way cheaper, too.
Oh, yeah. I think that, too. I'm like, I would have totally not done the UC. I would have gone a couple years at a junior high to just study, or junior high, junior college, and then maybe tried to get into like UCLA or someplace that was like a 2-year film school just to make those connections. I think that would have been fun.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Is that what you set out to do though originally? Like you're going to be a filmmaker?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm not a big film person, right? So I went to a film school because I was like, oh, this is, I want to do like, internet,
like, I'm
going to
disrupt this. We're not making films here anymore. We're going to do TikTok videos.
Yeah, no, exactly. But like, it was weird because like, I was like, I don't know what the fuck to do, right? I'm already making YouTube videos and stuff. So I was like, okay, let me try this. I wanted to do design for a while. And then a friend of mine was
when
like,
when you say design, what is
it? Like graphic design.
Okay.
Even just like Photoshop and stuff. I was like really into that stuff. And then I had a real bad friend at the time who was just like, who just said something really offhandedly that was just like, he's like, there's so many people better than you. You shouldn't do that. And I was just, and then it just changed my career, like the way that I did everything. Cause I was just like, oh, you're my best friend. So I just shouldn't do that.
Oh, you think I suck.
Yeah. Oh, so I was like, okay, so I should never do that. And then I ended up meeting Lianza, and then she was just like, you're good at this. You should try doing that. So I went back to school for that. And that was my final year of college. And that was incredible. I just should have done that.
Yeah.
The entire time.
Well, that's the whole point of college, right? Yeah. Is you're supposed to figure that. That's why people should go. You experiment, you figure it out.
Yeah. Wish I had more of a party life though. That is one thing. Even a year of that, right? I just never had that at all.
I mean, that was a pivot. That, you got to have it a little bit, I would say. But I mean, I look back and I think a lot of the stuff that I did, like partying wise, that the best times I had were the times when I figured out that I wanted to do film, met the people in the area that became like in the film studies department that became like my best friends all throughout college. And then I just hung out with them.
Yeah.
Those are the times that I was like, we're not even raging. We're just enjoying ourselves, having a couple drinks, not going too fucking nuts. But I don't know. again, in this alternate reality, bye bye fucker, it's not a film studies major in this one. Daddy's just bankrolling everything I could. Okay, who's gonna be big next year? Kardashians. What do you got to say about them? Fuck it.
That's what you're gonna somehow bankroll this about the Kardashians?
Well, I figure I'm like, I'm not going to college because that's useless and it's a waste of my parents' money. So I figure I graduate high school because you have to. I do.
At this point, too, you graduate high school and you've proven to Lou and Elena, I'm from the future. You've told them, right?
I would not do that. What I would do is I would be like, look, mom, dad, you guys work really hard to provide me with this life. Let me get a job right now. And they're like, Nick, you're 10. And I'm like, I know, but I need to start buying the stuff called Apple stock.
Yeah.
And I know this is going to sound bonkers, but you're just going to have to trust me. I need you to co-sign this brokerage account for me that I can start buying as much stock in this thing called Apple and then this Alphabet company that's eventually going to be Google. I need both those things. We're going to take those eventually. And when this thing called Bitcoin happens, we're going to be at that university where they were handing it out for free for people, for projects. We're going to get a couple of those points, right? And then we're going to turn this around. So by the time I'm 18 years old, theoretically, I do this right, I'm well on the way of not needing to work ever.
Yeah, you're
Of course.
From that point on, I go, mom, look, brokerage account, see it. You got to trust me on this one. I've already done the partying. I'm going to go work the door at the comedy store for like the dark years of the comedy store, the 90s, right?
Sure.
If I can be there by 16, great, perfect, if they'll let me do it. That way I get the whole Mitzi Shore era. I get all that stuff. Midway through that, I start making film. You start making YouTube videos because that's 2004 is right around the time you really need to start catching that wave of oh my god, this guy knows how to do lightsaber stuff and he turns into Freddie Wong. It's like, I want to be that guy. That's easy peasy for me, right?
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. So are you going down the path of like, are you yesterdaying it? That hit movie where are you taking people's ideas from that you've seen in your
Hot Tub Time Machine where he's like, that's my son. Only hear what you want. I think that was that one, right? Oh no, it was a different one.
I think the second one they did that, but it was Van Halen went in the first one at the end of it.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not doing that. I'm doing the thing of like, I don't have to work. So now I just want to maybe just have a presence and do the art that I would want to do at the time there, which is just making fun stuff on the internet, doing stand-up comedy. Yeah. Imagine a life where you're like, you can do what we do here, but not have to worry necessarily about the paycheck. That's what I would want to set myself up for.
Yeah.
Then the question becomes what excuse do I use to be in San Francisco to meet my wife in 2007? I don't know anything about her prior to that. I had to pre-interview her, and then I had to figure out how to get there and not be super creepy peepee.
Could you convince your wife? Like, could you, if you all this happened like you're talking about, could you head it off at the pass, meet D wherever she works or lives at the time, be like, hey, this is gonna sound nuts, but
I don't think I would try that tactic.
Okay.
For two reasons. One, my wife is very, very, she's way too smart for that. She'd be like, that's weird. It'd probably weird her out. And two, I'd have to pre-interview her before. I don't really listen when she talks about her past. So I get a lot of those things wrong.
That's awesome. Wow. That is fucking, you know what I mean? Awesome.
I'd be like, look, because you got to go, you got to say the one thing to her. She'd be like, that's not right at all. I'm like, fuck, why do I pay always, attention?
I love this time travel conversation because I've thought so many different ways around it.
Yeah.
This is my fear of being kicked back to like 1900.
Yeah.
Or like 1800. Ooh, and be like, oh, but we just need penicillin. Well, what's that? I'd be like, mold?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's how it works.
Well, oh, guys, we're going to have combustion engines and gasoline. How do we make gasoline? you know what I mean? Batteries. There's a thing.
And this is what people always tell me. They're like, why don't you just go back and like do this sports betting thing? I was like,
can you remember?
Who the fuck won the 1992 that? Super Bowl? By what spread? I don't know. I can't remember. I think Denver won at one point. I think San Francisco was pretty dominant in the 90s, but I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's awesome, though. Like, you couldn't even tell your wife, like, specific stories about her or whatever.
When I fantasize about re-meeting her and re-wooing her, it has to be straight-up charm. I have to be like, what I thought about. I go, okay, I remember the weekend I met her.
Yeah.
And I remember the circumstances I met her. So I'm thinking maybe I'll try to orchestrate it so they meet her, but I don't ask her out then. I just tell her I'm a stand-up comic, and I try to figure out how to headline Cobbs at that point, and then invite her and some of her friends out to come see me. And then from that point on, I'm pretty sure I could seal the deal.
Okay.
Because if you see me ball out, you know, I park the car out front, and then this car is like a Porsche, something cool like that, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, this is me. And then I tell her the following words. Well, you know, I've lived this crazy life, made a lot of money. But really, I'm just looking for someone who I can just settle down with, commit myself to, and travel the world with. The second she hears me say that, sees the Porsche, I'm getting a shot. That's all I'm saying.
Sure.
I'm getting her attention.
Okay.
Because my wife loves to travel.
See, I like your interpretation because, like, when I've thought about it and whatever, it's like I would tell my parents for sure.
Yeah.
And I think that would be the hardest thing, because I think like Jen, I could convince no problem. Especially when I show up. Well, I mean, like,
yeah.
Here's, I'm some random American who showed up in either Montreal or Quebec City or whatever, and I'm telling you like intimate details about your life and your family. Like, nobody would just know. You know what I mean? Like, I think, and Jen being like a nerd like the rest of us would be able to be like, all right, cool, I get.
You don't think she'd have that knee jerk of like, this guy is a weird stalker?
I mean, there.
I think you got to wait until she's the age you met her at.
Well, I'm not talking about like I'm going like, yeah, I'm not going there at 13 or whatever.
You like, got to go like close to when she was there, because my worry.
Again, I don't want
to
rob her of her experience.
Exactly. Yeah, my worry would be that like whatever experiences D went through were either so terrible that she settled for me, or like so bad that she was like, I'm looking for something better.
Yeah, totally.
You gotta
I
have her go through.
I don't want to go there, because again, we're all different people at 24, 34, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, so you can't screw that up. My parents, on the other hand, like, I would try to. Like, your whole thing of, like, I'm not going to go to college, I'm going to do this. Like, I think I could, again, it would be tough because I am not the dates guy, both for video games and for life, right? So it would be a little bit tougher of, like, I'd have to wait for, as we get closer to something I know is going to happen, like, listen, I need you to understand, like, I've been doing this, and like this, and this is what's going to happen tomorrow, you know what I mean? Or that's going to blah, blah.
That's so easy, though, right? You're sitting there, you're like, this is the Nintendo Entertainment System. In a few years, they're going to call it the SNES. People call it the SNES. They're going to have Sega Genesis, this and this. 5 years later, your parents will be like, what is the next thing happening?
Sure.
They give you all their money to invest.
That's smart. That's
you're taking
smart,
all your money, you're going Furbies or Beanie Babies, right? Remember the Beanie Baby? Remember the Beanie Baby?
We're getting in on Beanie Babies and Spider-Man Power Rangers.
We need
Power
Spider-Man
Rangers right away. We're getting right out.
We're getting right out. Get
you guys got
to
understand, this is like, we got a weekend where we're making money off this, or we are fucked.
30 years from now.
I love that.
For one
That's
weekend.
How I do it.
AMC
I show up and I'm just playing the fucking quick turn stuff.
Dude, you could though, right? AMC stock for one day. You could have been a millionaire.
Hey, and like, but then it's also the thing I thought about too, of like, you know, like the, you know, butterfly effect of it all, of like, so if I showed up and, you know, there's that, and this is like even just a few years ago, stick with me. God. But like when I, on that Games Daily, it was like, yo, GameStop's stock is almost about delisted. And I said on the show, I'm like, you should probably, I'd buy it if I thought it was ethical for me to buy stuff we cover. But it's like, it's going to come back, right? Because of consoles. I never thought it was going to come back in the fucking Wall Street Bets way. But if you would have, like, you know what I mean? Like, so, but it's like that thing. Yeah. If I, on that day, Greg Miller of the one who's prepared for it, buys $100 million of it, right? And Wall Street Bets is like, I'm not buying this. And then get tanked. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Alex in the chat brings up a real good question. Nick's missing a big thing here. Go back and prank a few high schoolers named Tim and Alfredo and Kevin.
What would you do to them?
I wouldn't do anything to them, but for sure they would hold really low level jobs with me for the rest of their lives. Like, for sure, I'd be like, Tim.
That got Mike. That got Sleepy Mike with his plate of cake. Is that my birthday cake? Okay.
And we have like five cakes still. We have a lot. You want some cake?
Are they still good?
Oh, I mean, they're cake. 5 days old. They've been in the fridge. I mean, ask Mike. Mike, they're a little dry, probably.
All right, fine.
Get a piece of cake.
It's a tough one of like how time travel, because it'd be so much. There'd be so many ups and downs to it, where I'd be like excited for sure, and then like also terrified of fucking everything up and like whatever.
Yeah, my one worry is that if I went too far back, because I'd like to go back far enough so that I could be healthier now and never have been super. Like, my big thing is like I would like to see what life was like going through my teens and young adulthood, not super overweight.
Sure.
That's the one thing I think I could go back and be like, what would life be like where I'm not ashamed to take my shirt off for the rest of my life?
Yeah, sure. That's a good one.
So that would be cool. But what I know about myself is, if D wasn't there with me, if I didn't have the occasional opportunity to call her and be like, hey, you okay? You good?
I'd
fucking go nuts. I'd probably get into a really bad depression, and I don't think I'd make it out of the 20s, honestly. I think I hit a point where I'm like, this is fucking driving me crazy. And I'd go insane and probably start drinking myself to death. I just don't think I could handle it.
Well,
that's how that... So there's like the Back to the Future version, and then like you make this the indie movie, and that's how it ends.
Sure.
Where you're like, you didn't even get to 19 because you know, you're like, you've lived 15 years of knowing what's going to happen. It's like,
and that's the thing where it's like, you'd be, you know, you're a 60-year-old in a 15-year-old's body or whatever at that point. You're like, and then granted, like, you know, you feel great, but like, anytime you see anybody who's got a mortal life in the vampire stuff, I'm like, this wouldn't be good, would it?
And you get into like that like existential idea of like, you start, let's say you do go back in time and you start becoming like really rich at like 16. It's like, maybe that version of myself is gone. You know what I mean? I'm a different person now and I'm down this different path. And it's like, that's I'm never going to go back to this version of myself that I actually did like parts of. It's,
I mean, imagine being wealthier way by a wide margin than your parents when you're 16.
Yeah.
No. That never, that's never gone bad for any kid in Hollywood, right? Like, it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
At some point, people start resenting you. So that's the other thing is too, is like, how do you low key build that, but stay the same grounded, semi-grounded person that I was when I was 16? I was fucking weird, but you know, that's without my parents being like, what is with this kid? Or
not
are we dependent?
Too, like, if you like think about it, at 16, we're talking about the wealth of it, but again, like, you're, again, like, let's say I did it right now, I'd be and had to relive everything or whatever, however this is all working. But like, my mental age is 56 by the time I'm 16, right? I'm 40 now, we add the 16, however we're doing it. And so it's like, but then I'm still surrounded by 16-year-olds.
Yeah.
Like these fucking morons. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
I think about that too. You know what's so funny is I think about that too, because when you were 16, you were just so immature.
Yeah.
And you've had like since, I mean, I still keep in touch with a lot of my high school friends and they've lived just, they're completely, there's just so many different set of circumstances that people were going through in high school that you just never realized.
Sure.
And then you see it now and you go, oh my God, I should have been so much nicer to this person, or I should have been this person's friend because we had so much stuff, cool stuff in common. And then you're like, what would it be? You can't date anyone, right? You can't. That's weird.
Yeah.
Even though you are 16, you're not. You're 56. Yeah. So you can't. If a girl has a crush on you, you got to be like, it really isn't you. It's me.
Yeah.
Like, I can't. This is not a thing that's happening. And so then you're the weird person that, like, doesn't want to date anyone. And it's a lot of stuff you have to navigate with this. Mm. That's why it's like maybe you're just so wealthy by the time you're 12. You're just like, boom, I'm gone. You go live in LA for a little bit or something crazy. I don't know, man.
How does that help it? It's all many things. You're living in LA.
That's true. But yeah, but I think about it, it's a romantic concept to go live it all over again. But that's, D and I had a fun conversation about this a few weekends back when we were traveling. And she was like, yeah, it's either both of us together and we'd have to just live together. Like we'd have to somehow figure out a way for our parents. And she grew up really far from me. It's still in California, but far enough where it's like in the 80s. Your mom ain't driving you to fucking LA every day.
You're doing like pen pal programs?
To see your friends. Yeah, I was like, we'd have to figure out a way where we kept in contact and eventually live together like right after high school so we could make it work.
And we're also talking about like just the personal aspect of it, but like what about like the world aspect of it? Like we all know like awful things that happen in this world.
Like 9/11?
Exactly. That we're going to have to be like, okay, is that even possible to stop? Like, what do I do here? And then
dude,
you start
trying to explain that you're the conspiracy theorist. Like, that's
exactly.
You
become.
You, I mean, not only that, but you're on an FBI watch list. Yeah. They arrest you. I mean, what are you going to do? Hey, FBI, call.
I'm there already. Yeah. Fine.
What are you going to
do? Like, it's not that bad.
It's all right, yeah. It's just occasionally you'll see someone staring at you and wonder, Is this it?
That's so
see, the thing about it, though, if you did it, you're this gajillionaire at 16.
Yeah.
You can then back presidential candidates, right?
Sure.
Especially the ones you know are going to win.
George W. Bush.
Then you have the private conversations with him.
Yeah.
And this is tough.
I mean, Bush knew what was happening.
This is tough. This is tough to be like,
turn the book
I'm
upside down.
From the future. And that's how I made all this money. I did those things. We need to talk about a few different things we need to lock down and do and not get involved in.
Yeah,
like Afghanistan. Just don't get involved at all. See what happens.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
See what happens.
I wouldn't phrase it that way.
No, but that would be a big moral conundrum. It's the same thing that pops up when you start thinking about Captain America, right?
Yep.
You're gonna tell me Captain America, who spent the better part of the last part of his life risking his fucking life to save the goddamn universe, goes back in time, sees someone getting mugged on the streets in 1950 or whatever, and does shit about it? No.
Well,
you see him to go through all these things, he does nothing about it. He's gonna do something.
He probably did. Which would be a great Disney Plus show. Let's see that.
You know, one day.
They can't afford them.
They did. It's called Ghosted, and it's with him and Ana de Armas, and it looks terrible. What are those movies?
I don't know.
What are they doing?
They pop up sometimes. Like, what is this?
When did they make this fucking movie? When did they make Ghosted with Ana de Armas and Chris Evans? Like, was it a weekend they had free, and they just got him out there and shot some stuff with him? What a weird-ass
first
movie.
First AI-written piece of media, I'm sure.
You think so?
Yeah.
What are you? Oh, Chris Evans. God bless him. He deserves it.
Cam, do you still have a tangent to take us on? It was from forever ago.
Yes.
Okay, before you do, let me remind everybody that this is the Kind of Funny Podcast. Each and every week we come together to talk about whatever we want to talk about. The sugar's hitting. The sugar's starting to hit.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Mike.
Woo!
Yeah, it's really hitting Mike. Everybody get a shot of Mike when you can. Of course, you can support the show by going to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where you can watch us record it live, just like Mike L is and Chris Anka is. Hey, what up?
Hi, Chris.
Greg, they are doing that show. I'll believe it when I see it. That's not official.
Yeah.
That I know of. Chris, if it's official, text me. Then, while you're there, you're watching live, you're doing the thing, you could get a whole bunch of bonus content. And then, of course, you could get the show ad-free. But since you're not on patreon.com/kindoffunny, here's a word from our sponsor.
Shout out to Honey for sponsoring this episode. Honey is the easy way to save when shopping on your iPhone or computer. Thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. And we all know there's nothing better than the feeling of saving money. Honey's the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. Here's how it works. Imagine you're shopping on one of your favorite sites. When you check out, the Honey button appears and all you have to do is click apply coupons. You wait a few seconds as the Honey guy dances. It searches for coupons it can find for the site, and if it finds a working coupon, you will watch the prices drop. We here at Kind of Funny have been using Honey for years, and it has literally saved us thousands on tech, costumes, food, you name it. Honestly, I just love how easy it is to set, forget, and save. Honey doesn't just work on desktops, it also works on your iPhone. You just activate it on Safari on your phone, save on the go. And if you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. By getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this show. You can get PayPal Honey for free at joinhoney.com/kindoffunny. That's joinhoney.com/kindoffunny. Shout out to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode. We all love gobbling up content, and we have an understanding of what subscriptions we use. Or do we? Do you know how much your subscriptions really cost? Most Americans think they spend around $80 a month on subscriptions when the actual total is closer to $200. That's right. You out there, you could be wasting hundreds of dollars each month on subscriptions you don't even know about. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending and it helps you lower your bills all in one place. Rocket Money has saved some of us here at Kind of Funny a ton of money, and it can help you too. Stop throwing away your money. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. That's rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny.
What do you got for me, Tim?
All right. So this entire time I've been having an existential crisis.
Okay.
Because I was like, I have no frames of reference for anything you guys are talking about.
Yeah.
And also like, I don't have those shared experiences, right? Like high school and that kind of stuff. And I was thinking, there's a decent chance like the rest of my life is going to be in this country.
Yeah.
And as part, like I would like to have kids. I would like to have, you know, if I'm, and then if I have a kid, I have no frame of reference of what the school system is like, for example. That's something terrible. I think about a lot. You're like, so I'm
absolutely
like,
horrible.
Because obviously everything I know about the American school system is consumed through pop culture.
Sure.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know, Saved by the Bell or the OC or whatever it might be. So my thinking was like, how do I prepare myself to potentially take a kid through the schools or American life with no frame of reference?
I think it's easy. And I think Greg and I are probably, my mind is your mind, thinking the exact same thing. You shave the beard and you never been kissed it. You go back to high school. Yeah. You enter yourself in as a high school freshman.
Live
that life for 4 years and figure it out. I don't know, because I think of like Ben growing up. The school's going to be so much different. Everything's going to be so much different by the time he gets into it, that it's going to be way radically different experience than what I had. Computers alone. I'm assuming kids have to bring laptops to school now, right? Because they have to in college. Yeah. So I'm assuming high school kids have to bring laptops and phones and all that stuff. And it's just different. Like, I don't know.
They got the iPads now.
They have iPads. Chrome, they have all that stuff. And like, everyone's, I mean, there was just a moment like when we were kids where, you know, your school would be, when did we start? 7 o'clock in the morning? What school started? 8 o'clock maybe?
Damn.
And then you get out at
3. I want to say like 7:45 might have been first bell. And like
that sounds about right. 8 o'clock. Yeah. And then we get out at 2:45, 3 o'clock.
I was out at 3:15 in grade school,
Like, even that, I'm like, I don't even know if they do that anymore. I think there's periods that move around. Like, your parents have to come pick you up. Our parents had to come pick us up. Now, what, a kid's Uber home? I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But by the time your kids go to school, it's all going to be automated cars. They're just going to come pick them up. And, like, bring them to whatever their computer screen is that the person's going to talk to. Or maybe people don't even go to school anymore. Who the hell knows?
Yeah, I don't know. Learning. It's one of those, it's an interesting one because I don't know anything about your schooling, you know what I mean? So it's like I can't compare contrast that way or whatever.
Yeah, I think like a lot of the things, like again, pop culture.
Where'd you grow up?
London.
London, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of like pop culture.
I don't think it's that vastly different.
I think it is.
We call the numbers and grades different. I know that's weird.
Yeah, but like, I mean, like,
you have primary school.
Yeah, right. But like, the thing that I think about is like within like high school, for example, social hierarchy.
Sure.
Like that exists, right? And it's something that is a common part of like pop culture media.
Yeah,
that
kind of course. Of
stuff. Everything's built around it.
It didn't.
He was a jock. She was a nerd.
Yeah, jocks and nerds and that kind of stuff.
That shit's changed, though.
Yeah.
21 Jump Street really changed that.
That's what really turned that corner.
21 Jump Street's done a lot of work recently, changing people's minds.
I mean, I always talk about my high school career of like, yeah, that strata was there. We had jocks, we had theater dorks, we had band geeks, we had the academic people, we had the drug kids. But for whatever reason, in my high school, we all just got along. And like, it was just, there was a lot of crossover where people just kind of tried other stuff at my school.
Yeah.
It wasn't, I don't think we ever, I never saw anyone get, I mean, I'm sure it happened, but I never got really picked on for being a band geek by like the football players because they were also in the plays with me.
Oh.
So it was like, we kind of knew all these people and it was like, it was a little bit better. But, and I think now I think the perception of being a geek
is different, right?
Yeah. It's like, what does that really mean? Oh, you really like Marvel movies? Well, everyone fucking likes Marvel movies, right? Oh, you play video games? Oh, that's mainstream and the biggest industry on the planet as far as like entertainment is concerned.
Yeah, we didn't have that kind of like social hierarchy thing as far as I know.
That's wild.
Maybe you did.
In
like
London.
Maybe it was in different. Like,
I feel like you guys invented the social hierarchy.
We definitely did, but like, I think it's, unless you went to a specific kind of school, maybe it's like the super rich schools or the, you know, that kind of stuff where everyone's kind of got a chip on their shoulder. That's where it comes out. But like for the most public schools, I think our public schools are, because correct me if I'm wrong, public schools have a bad reputation here, right?
Some do. Some don't. Do, right? Public schools generally
in major
cities have a bad reputation. So the big thing for like San Francisco, for instance, or New York is that you don't want your kid going to public school. They have to go to private school.
Right.
And then that comes with a specific stigma and connotation
of
saying, oh, you're a private school kid. You must have been doing cocaine when you were like 12.
Yeah.
Because you have a ton of money and your parents don't ever pay attention to you.
Yeah. So like public schools at least in London were like generally like they're super good. Like, so
I mean,
like,
my public school was great.
Yeah.
Like, I went to a school in Riverside, California. What up, John W. North High, if you're watching.
Woo!
Go Huskies.
What up?
And we had some, we had kids from all level of income at our school.
Yeah.
We actually had, we skewed kind of on the lower income side.
Yeah.
We also had a tremendous, we had the International Baccalaureate Program and Advanced Placement Program. So we had really smart kids. So our athletics was dominant and we were the smartest kids in town, which was great.
Yeah.
But I would, if I were in Riverside, I would not hesitate to put my kid in public school. There, I mean, I don't think we had private schools in Riverside. Yeah. Maybe they had a couple, but
Bear, the schools in SF, public schools, they good?
Well, Tim was a lull.
Tim would have more of an answer because I came in late in middle school, so I had a very like tiny middle school experience. But I'd never heard any of my friends complain about it. Really liked the high school that I went to. Wasn't my first choice for that. I was trying to go to more of an artsy high school called Soda here. But then ended up at Abraham Lincoln High School. And that was during a time where a lot of the funding wasn't there, but still like a lot of great communities. And even with the funding that they had, still putting in a lot of programs to, you know, help kids find their passion and their way in life. And yeah, so I don't know. I really liked my high school. All my friends went to different high schools. That was the kind of nice thing about going to high school in San Francisco. Just everybody kind of knew each other.
Yeah.
And I never heard anything like super terrible about any other specific high school. So I don't know, like kind of Nick was saying, like we're all just kind of chill, just hanging out.
Yeah.
Just trying to exist.
What a lot of people do is if they know they're going to have a family,
they
tend to move to areas out, where their kid is going to be in the district of a decent enough public school, or you got to make baller ass money to send your kid to private school in San Francisco specifically.
This comes from, I also had like a nightmare, you know, one of those nightmares where it's like, oh, you're back at school. And you're scared. So I had the nightmare where it was like I was at a parent teacher conference as a parent in this country, and they were telling me things, and I was like, I don't know what's going on. So I was like, and I woke up that day, I was like, what if that happens to me? That's got like a decent chance of happening.
The biggest thing I think so far about being a parent that's interesting is that, yes, that idea of the high school and public and private and all, blah, 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 like that is a thing that you can easily get wrapped up and scared in, but the thing is that you're always worrying about the thing just in front of you. And like, dude, there's plenty, like, don't get me wrong, we've looked into and thought about and talked to, had preliminary conversations about preschool, right, for Ben, but it's not so much the concern about high school yet, right?
Right, right.
It's the same way of like, you know, when Ben got here, it was so much about learning how to take care of a newborn, not worrying about potty training, right? As we get closer to that, that becomes what you start learning. You learn what you need to know, and there's enough resources and friends and people to talk to figure out that stuff. Like, that's what's been helpful with us with the move of, we kind of feel like for, you know, and I say the move, obviously we moved before Ben was even born. It was the idea that we moved into a great neighborhood and we're surrounded by great families who have so much advice about what how school works and whatever. So that like, preschool and elementary, I feel like I'm set on. I'm not worried about for it, even though his will be dramatically different than mine was, right? Because for me, I went private school my entire life up till Mizzou.
Did you go private religious, like Catholic
school? Yeah, Catholic school. Yeah, I was Catholic school, kindergarten through high school all the way till I was I knew nothing other than a school uniform until I got to Mizzou, which is why I dressed like an idiot and still do. So it's like, you know, I the schools that are around us are great. So I totally, my intention is that, or assumption, because again, I have a conversation with Jen about anything, is that Ben will go to a public school. And so his, I'm also interested of like, is it going to be like Saved by the Bell for him? Is it, let alone what's a California school look like in general? And you know, a very, you know, it's the Bay Area, right? It's super liberal here in general. And it is like, you can go outside all the time and do different activities and yada, yada, yada. Like,
the biggest advice I have, and I know I'm a little biased here, especially with the younger kids and looking at schools, is like literally just like talk to the teachers, learn about like what they're doing in classrooms, and if that speaks to you, because that can go a long way with even if it is a public school that doesn't, you know, have all the fancy bells and whistles of programs that private schools have. There's still a lot of passion from the teachers in the classroom of what they're trying to do, even for the younger kiddos.
That's not what it looks like in the movie The Faculty.
No, that was quite different. That, that wasn't Heather's.
A lot of my knowledge about American schools come from that.
So wait, walk me through just so I know, just for context for next time this conversation comes.
Next time I need to talk to you about American schools.
What are the grade levels in UK?
So we have nursery, which is like preschool.
That'd be kindergarten.
For kindergarten. Yeah. Kindergarten, whatever that is.
Zero, basically zero.
Yeah, exactly. Then you have the infant school, which is like...
We had preschool, sorry. There's preschool, then there was kindergarten for us, right?
Yeah. So I think...
That's like kindergarten's the
infant school is like when you're like a little older than that. And it's like you have, I think it's 4 years of that. And then secondary school is our version of high school.
Right, because you guys don't have junior high, right?
No, we don't have junior high.
How long is your high school?
High school is... 5 years, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a big difference right there.
Yeah,
because the junior high for us is either 2 or 3 years, right? How long was your junior high?
I'm totally...
Oh, you're again, all Catholic school.
I'm broken
time.
Up because you I was kindergarten through 8th grade, 9th through 12th. Yeah. 6th, 7th, 8th is
okay. For me, it was 7th, 8th.
I had a weird one where I went to elementary school till 6th grade, and then 7th through 12th, I was in the same school.
Interesting.
See, that would
and that was a public school, too.
See, that would be fucking horrible.
Yeah. In what way?
In just that the divide of ages.
That's
of
true.
The horrible seniors picking on, like,
see, here's the thing. We
7th graders.
I had a similar experience, though, to you, of, like, there was not meant much picking, especially when it comes to older people and the 7th graders coming in.
Yeah.
It was mostly, like, just, like, that kid has a fucking really big backpack. That was always the big thing of, like, you see a 7th grader running around, and this kid has every fucking textbook in it, and then all the seniors just walk around with nothing, and they're, fucking...
My buddy Clay used to have a big backpack, and my buddy Ty would just go slap it, and he'd fall to the ground.
Ryan nailed it.
Fuck, I laughed at it every time.
What years 1 to 3 is infants, years 4 to 6 is juniors, and then from there, you go into secondary school, which is 7 to 12, which is high school.
Okay. It's going to be a different vibe.
Yeah.
Because high school is where things get compacted here, usually. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Barrett just confirmed it. High school is still 4 years. Up in the Bay Area, that's when stuff gets wild. High school is really kind of where I think you have to like kind of watch the kid,
because
they're hitting puberty, they're experimenting with a lot of stuff. Junior high,
let them go out and party. So you know, it's a great time.
You gotta learn sometime.
I mean, you gotta learn sometime, right? That was to my. I always talk about, to my parents' credit, I had an older brother, and so he's 5 years older than me, and so when I was hitting junior high, he was graduating high school and getting into college and experimenting with all sorts of crazy stuff. You know, like, he would be drinking a lot, and he'd have friends over when my parents would leave. My parents would pretend like they didn't know that was happening, but they were like, for whatever reason, they'd stock everything in the house that we would never have to leave.
Yeah.
And it was very smart of my mom to be like, I'm not stupid. I know you guys are going to do this shit no matter what. Your brother's My brother's 21 years old when I was 16. Mm. So it's like, I'm getting beers if I want beers. That's going to happen. There's no way Mascarpino is not going to do that for me.
Might as well do it in the safety of the house.
Yeah.
Do it in the house somewhere else.
And it was crazy.
Which is what I was doing. I was going out into, you know, Golden Gate Park until 2 a.m. drinking Four Locos before they were recalled and showing up drunk on my mother's birthday in high school. You know?
I mean, Four Locos were, that was a
I partied in high school like most people party in college, which is why I think once I got into the college era, I just like chilled the fuck out and I've been like a 50-year-old man ever since.
That was a very similar experience to me because I partied with, first off, I remember partying in junior high with my brothers. My brother had graduated and there was like teachers that he was friends with that were like, I'm going to be your teacher. And it was weird. And so like I experienced a lot of adult or, you know, young adult relationships when I was in junior high to the point where I was like, this is really cool. But I've done it for 4 years.
Yeah.
So by the time I got into college, I was like, I'm still going to party, but the idea of getting beer before you're 21 right now is not as cool as it used to be to me. People are like, Nick, can you get us beer? I was like, I don't know. We can go to. I used to literally love going to get coffee at night and smoking cigarettes because I was like, this is more what I'm looking for. I don't really want to get too pounded because I want to be able to drive. But yeah, I don't know. That's weird. I didn't realize you guys had that weird breakup of school.
Yeah. After college.
At what point do you learn the spells?
We don't do that anymore. We've removed all of that from England.
Okay,
wildly problematic.
That's all gone.
This is part of Brexit.
Yeah,
we just thought your magic.
Just took it all out.
Brexit and some other
some tweeting.
Some tweeting.
Some just, key like, tweets.
We just found a little that you know the platform 9 3/4 just threw a nuke through it.
Damn.
Other side, who knows what happens?
We don't care.
Yeah.
Fuck the dragons. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah,
this has been fun.
I've enjoyed this.
I have enjoyed this. Who needs Tim? Who needs Andy?
You take Tim out of the situation, all of a sudden it's like, oh, we don't have to talk about Fast and Furious every single day.
Oh my God. Vanderpump rules. Here's the thing is every time, I don't understand it. Like him and Joey just have this pressure release of Tim will stand up and look at her and she goes, I can't believe that somebody did whatever. And I'm like, what the fuck are you people talking about?
The other day they were like, Tim. And he goes, Charlie? And she goes, yeah. And I'm like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? Why do you have this weird language to each other?
Reality TV is now like convoluted and like almost like a gated community in the same way that comic books used to be.
Yeah.
Where it's like now it's everyone's just like, I don't know. Where do I jump into this?
How
do I get into
How
this?
How can I possibly catch up on the Vanderpump universe?
Yeah. I mean, it's the I mean, there's still soap operas, but it is the modern day soap opera, obviously. Yeah. And I like talking shit, but I'll tell you what, I'm thinking about going back to Below Deck real hard.
Sure.
Wow.
Miss that show. Miss it.
I thought about Keeping Up with the Kardashians again, but there's two different series. There's too much. I used to be really into it as a kid.
I can't watch the Kardashians now because I'm just so envious of their success.
Yeah.
They're just on such a different stratosphere that it's like, it's not even fantasy fulfillment anymore. It's like, you guys are demigods
at
this point. Mm. And I don't know that I can support that anymore. That's bonkers.
The only reality TV I used to watch was Terrace House, and now that's gone.
What is that?
Terrace House is a Japanese one. And it's like, take everything you know about reality TV in the Western world and flip it, reverse it. So everything in Western world is like drama and stuff.
Yeah.
In the Japanese side of it, they're just being nice to each other. Oh, everyone's being nice, and everyone's chill.
That's why I still, to this day, the only reality competition show I watch, The Great British Bake Off.
Yep. Everyone's
because
nice.
Everyone loves each other, and no matter who wins, everyone wins. It's
Terrace House is so good, though. They're like, and the thing about it is, like, they can go out into their own lives. So it's like they get a bunch of people, men and women, who like are single and are likely to fall in love with each other or at least try it, and then put them in one house and then let them live their lives. And then, like, they just follow them along. And there's like a panel show also, like, reacting to it and doing like comedy bits around it. It's really fun. But it ended because of controversy. So there's like three.
They always what was the did? Controversy? Murder.
Oh.
Oh wow.
Was it really?
It was the controversy was there was one in the latest season that
they
came out. There was one. Huh.
No,
there was one lady who was on it, and she was a wrestler as well. She was like very open with her emotions and very forthcoming, and like some people would say like she's brash.
Okay.
But like, the general public did not appreciate that kind of personality type, and they bullied her like really badly. And that's revealed that there was no mental health kind of support, And sadly, the bullying was to an extreme where she didn't she didn't make it.
Yeah. Oh no!
So they like mid season shut that show off.
Wow!
But she was like a really like up and coming wrestling prospect as well. Wow. So it was rough. Yeah. Well, rest of those seasons though.
Cheering,
excellent.
Cheering great. Note to end on.
Great show. You know. Super excited to watch. Yeah.
Genuinely, the other seasons are like, heartwarming and phenomenal. Like, I was in Japan.
Like, oh my goodness!
I was in Japan one time, and like one of the seasons, I was like, I'm gonna go find the person who was on this season, like a little stalker. Yeah. I went to like the coffee shop she worked at, just because like she kept working there and like showing off like these really nice coffees. I was like, I want one of those.
Yeah,
coffees.
Yeah.
I went there and she was there. Oh.
I was walking in China.
Wait, well, did you talk to her?
Yeah, I spoke to her. Yeah, I spoke to her in like Japanese and like said, I'm a fan and would you be cool to take a picture? And it was like really, she was really nice. And like,
that's awesome.
So, yeah,
that's awesome.
I saw a Real Housewife from Chelsea one time.
Oh, yeah?
My wife freaked out. We were walking. She was like, that's the person. I was like, I don't know who this person is. But I freak out anytime. I like to get starstruck.
I was a big, you know, you're talking about Kardashians. Yeah. Growing up, I was a big Road Rules and Real World guy. You know what I mean? Back when they were more manageable and there wasn't a million things going on and whatever. And there was I had already started to fall out of it, I guess. But this is a really convoluted thing, and I don't remember what year it was, but one of the Real World people went to Mizzou. Mm-hmm. And so I saw her in a class in a building once. I was like, that was really cool. But it wasn't a season I was into anymore, but it was like neat to see that was still there or whatever. Yeah.
Awesome.
That's my reality show crossover, I guess.
Did everyone see Hereditary?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
The little girl.
Yeah.
My girlfriend was just walking down the street a day after she watched Hereditary and just saw her. That's creepy as fuck.
That is, especially given what happened.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, freaky. I would have just walked up and went,
and just walked away. I'm sure she gets that a lot.
That for the rest of her life, yeah.
Yeah, she's probably getting that nonstop.
Yeah.
I haven't seen her in a long time. What is she doing anymore? Is she still doing stuff?
You know what happened.
I know what happened in the movie.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a reality show. That's why I brought it up.
Ah, goddamn. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kinda Funny podcast. Each and every week, four, sometimes five best friends gather around this table, each coming to horse around with each other. If you want to horse around with us, you can write in for free at kindoffunny.com/KF podcast. Of course, you could be watching live on patreon.com/kindoffunny, where you could get it ad free. You could watch all the other podcasts we record. You could get dozens of bonus exclusive episodes, and you could just support the beast that is Kinda Funny. If you have no bucks toss our way, it's no big deal. YouTube.com/kindoffunny. And of course, podcast services around the globe. Roger, before we go, Next Gen Podcast is a show you guys do on patreon.com/kindoffunny. It's very good and people should listen to it.
Thank you. Yeah, we're recording our next episode this Friday. So excited to share that with y'all. It's going to be fun.
Tam?
Yes.
One more time. What's going on at GameSpot?
We got a bunch of new shows. I'll keep it short and sweet. One show every day. Go to youtube.com/GameSpot. It's something that I was working super hard on. Lucy's been working super hard on it. A bunch of people have been working super hard on it. We want to just make some cool, interesting content around video games. I'm sure you'll find something to love while you're there. You know, like, subscribe, all that kind of business. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you for coming by today.
Thank you for having me.
Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.